I've been changed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Amen. We're just thankful to be here tonight. Sunday night service. Amen. Here to give Brother Doug a little break tonight and just looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Amen. Amen. I don't know that if it was mentioned tonight or not, but the believers in Flagstaff asked for prayer. There's another fire there that just kind of reared up today and is threatening many homes, and they're under evacuation order. So they just asked for us to agree with them in prayer. Amen. Amen. Before we get into the word tonight, let's just bow our heads. How many have a need on your heart? You just want to lift it up to Him tonight, Lord. We just come to you, Lord, tonight as we change the order of this service, Lord, and we open your word, Lord, this holy Bible, Father, that you have given to us, Lord, is the foundation, Lord, of our faith and our lives. And Lord, we're standing on that word tonight. We're believing your word, Lord. And we trust, Lord, that your word is going to have its perfect work in us, Lord. And tonight, Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord, in Flagstaff, those that are threatened by this fire, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you would just be with them and that you would stop the flames short, Father. And may the firefighters, we pray protection for them. And Lord, that they would quickly be able to get it under control, Lord. And Lord, that your precious bride there in that area would be safe and sound, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, for every need, every hand that went up in the building tonight, Lord, we just lift it up to you, Lord, because you're our good Father, Lord. And we have needs, and so, Lord, we're putting them before you, Lord, trusting you to provide every single need. And Lord, it doesn't matter how big, how small, what it is, Lord, we know that you are more than able, Lord, and that you have purchased it for us as part of the atonement. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We honor you and worship you, Lord. We honor what you did at the cross by bringing needs to you, knowing that you paid for those needs. You paid for the healing and you paid for the deliverance at Calvary, Lord. And we thank you for it tonight. We just ask these things that you'd be with us, Lord. We pray you bless the word as it goes forth tonight. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you to have your way. Oh God, we have come tonight to meet with you, Lord. And may this time be precious to us, Lord. May it be special, Lord, as we meet with you tonight in the cool of the evening, Lord, knowing that we have to go back to work, go back to whatever our daily lives would bring in the morning. And Father, we know that we need you in our lives. And so we need more of you, more of your word tonight. We need, Lord, that daily bread to strengthen us, Lord, and to help us. And so we pray tonight that you would bless us, Lord, for the remainder of the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. While you're standing, let's turn into the scripture. And I just would like to look at a little scene in the Bible here tonight in Revelation chapter 5. And we love the Word of God because it's ours. Right. Amen. God gave it to us, and it's for us. And everything that's written in it is for us. And so we believe it that way. We believe that it's inspired, and we believe it says that heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. His word will never fail. And so we rely on that. We stand on that. Amen? Amen. So we believe if we read the word of God, it will benefit us. Revelation chapter 5, we just want to read the first 10 verses here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats tonight. So, as I said, I'd just like to just look at this little scene here in the scripture. It's such a tremendous portion. I mean, the whole book of Revelation, of course, as we know, this is our book. So much of it takes place in our time, and so much of it has been revealed to us in our time, in these last this last age. And so our understanding has been unveiled so much. And when we look at this scene here in Revelation chapter 5, there's a lot of just tremendous little nuggets in there that we can grab out of this little portion of Scripture, and so many symbols. We understand that, of course, you know, this is a vision that John is caught up into, and so it's all symbolic, right? Of course, there's no lamb that has, you know, all those eyes and horns and all those things, right? And it's all in symbol form, but it means something to us. It should be important to us. It should be something that has a feeling to it, because what it represents, it's important to us and it's relevant to us. It's not just some vision that theologians or, you know, or preachers might discuss and, you know, sit around the table and, well, what does this mean and what does that mean? That's not what it's there for. It's there because it's speaking of you and I, and it's there for us to speak to us and encourage us. And we must find ourselves in the vision. Amen. And when I say find ourselves, it's not just that we recognize with our mind that we are in the vision, but it's a revelation to us that I am there. I know this symbol, and I'm part of that. It's speaking of me. Amen? That's how we must read all the Scripture. The Scripture must be revealed to us in that way. It must be a living word. Amen? So we see that throne, and of course, this is all symbolic, right? And we see one sitting on the throne. And, you know, I can't help but think when I read that, one sitting on the throne, I can't help but think of all the thrones throughout the earth now, where men have put themselves up into a position of authority or placed themselves into a position where people would honor them or worship them or lift them up, and or they're ruling and reigning, or they're overthrowing and they're oppressing, right? Because they have set up a throne. But I want you to read something we're going to read here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, I beheld until the thrones were cast down. Now, this is judgment time that this is speaking of. The thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as wool, and the hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. So speaking of when that throne becomes a judgment throne. Notice what it says, though. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. I don't care what throne it is, metaphorical throne, amen? I don't care how high any man, any principality, any demon, any power sets themselves up a throne and a kingdom. Every single throne except for that throne will be cast down. Oh, hallelujah. That's the one that will remain and will outlast them all. Amen. Spirits try and anoint men to lift them up. Religious spirits try and set up kingdoms here on earth, but every throne will be cast down. Amen. Is that right? Hallelujah. Amen. Think about all the thrones in the Bible. Pharaoh sat on a throne, tried to lift himself up above God. He said, I don't know this God of the Israelites. Well, guess what? He came to know him pretty quick, or know about him anyway. Amen. He came to recognize what was the greatest power. The thrones of the Philistines, their gods bowed before the ark of the living God. Amen. Satan one day is going to bow his knee. Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Brother, sister, the Bible says that we shall sit with him on his throne. Amen. So all will cast down in judgment. All the pretenders will be swept away. And only the real will remain. So we see that there's one sitting there on the throne. Now, in verse 2 there of Revelation chapter 5, so he says that there's one sitting on the throne, but we hear, or John hears a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open this book? Amen? Who is worthy to open this book? So we see now a symbol of a book, right? And this is, again, it's symbolic, right? So what is this book? We know the prophet taught us that this is the book of redemption. He said this is the complete book of redemption. Now we know when we hear that word redemption, redemption is only necessary and it's only, you know, a thing that is spoken of in the scripture because of a fall. Is that right? There would be no need for redemption except that there was a position that was lost. There was an inheritance that was lost. And so it has to be redeemed back. Amen? That fall affected everything. The fall of man affected all creation pertaining to man. So everything that was part of the fall is part of the redemption. Amen? That's the purpose of redemption, is to restore what was fell back. Amen? So that includes all of mankind, right? It includes all of God's attributes of man, right? It includes the creation that he gave to man, the earth, the animal kingdom, all of that is wrapped up in this symbol of the book of redemption. The fate of all that life is symbolized there in that book. Amen. That's what it's speaking of. It's speaking of all of that is destined for death and hell unless it's redeemed. It's there in that symbol. Amen. Let me read to you a statement here from the Harvest Time. He says, it was at a meeting the other night, a little assembly of God, brother and sister, sang that song, I wonder if John saw me when he saw all the nations gathered. Did he see me? Sure he did, if your name is on that book. And John's name was on it too. And he wept because there was nobody that could touch it. And then one of the elders came and said, weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And John looked around to find a lion, and out from behind the curtains become a lamb. And the lamb had been slain since before the foundation of the world. He saw a bloody lamb come out, and he come and took the book out of the right hand of him and called everything that was on that book, It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it. The book of redemption. He redeemed all that was in that book. I believe he held up his Bible. Right? Not out of the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end because you're sons and daughters of God. Attributes of his thoughts and his word. You have no ending of life if your name is on that book. The Lamb come to redeem it. Not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live good and holy, but those names that are written on there, he redeemed that and that alone, whose names were on the book. So we see in the scene when the call goes forth, who is worthy to open that book? We see the gravity of the situation. All the names, all the creation is in that book. And when no one is worthy, he begins to weep. Amen? Adam forfeited the rights to eternal life. Is that right? He had the potential to have eternal life. But through the fall, he was kept from it. So he forfeited those rights to have eternal life. And in the process of that, he lost possession of the earth. He lost possession of his position in heavenly places. Is that right? And that fall, that position, that power that he had is represented in this title deed of the book of redemption. Amen? So that book, there might be a literal book somewhere, but it certainly symbolizes what we're talking about. Amen? It represents the legal right to possession and ownership of creation. Do you follow that? So when he lost it, Satan couldn't hold it. He couldn't take it. He tried to take it. But, you know, I know that through time people have preached different things about that Satan grabbed a hold of it and took it. But Brother Branham said Satan's dirty hands couldn't take a hold of it. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because why did Adam lose it? Because he sinned. So Satan, who's more righteous, is going to be able to hold on to it? No, of course not. He can't hold it either. He's sin embodied, right? So because of sin, Adam couldn't hold on to this any longer, because there was a separation and a gulf between him and God. And so that symbol book, that position, it goes back to God. Amen? Sin is what separated man from that position. So the book goes back to God, waiting for redemption. He's the great judge. He's the great creator. And so he's holding it for redemption. The only way man can have eternal life is for that book to be redeemed. Because your name is written there. My name is written there. And it will be held, and it's destined for destruction without redemption. Amen? The only way to have eternal life, to be restored to his position as caretaker of the earth, to be restored into heavenly places, to have eternal life. You see why this means so much to us. It's not just some esoteric, you know, a vision in the scripture that theologians argue about, or a vision that we talk about as doctrine. That's life and death for you and me. In that scene right there. And as the scene unfolds, our life and death is hanging in the balance. It's got to be personal to us. We've got to know that we are included in that. That we are represented in that vision. Amen? People think that, you know, they read the you know, message books, and they read the revelation of the seven seals, and they read this and they read that, and their mind is tickled, and they think about the doctrine and, oh wow, it's so neat how it all fits together. No, this is life and death. We know that that's true because how it affects John. Caught up in a vision, he begins to weep. He feels the emotion of the moment. And he begins to weep. There's no one. No one. What are we going to do? No one is worthy. All will be lost. All the wonderful things that God has created and God intended and the attributes and his children, and they'll be lost if no one is worthy.
Right.
He weeps because he was in the book too.
Right.
I'm there. There's who can save me? Only a man can take the book. It can't be an angel. You know, Gabriel is as worthy and wonderful and holy as he is. He can't come and take the book. It has to be a man. It has to be a near kinsman. Somebody just like you and me in the flesh. Worthy to take the book. We understand that through the story of Ruth. Right? The law that God wrote of the kinsman redeemer, the near kinsman, reflecting his own law in heaven. It had to be a man that was worthy. From the breach message, Brother Brown says, John wept. And here's what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy that could open this book of redemption, the whole creation was lost. Here is the book. Here is the title deed. And it will be offered to the kinsman redeemer that can meet the qualifications. That's God's own law. He can't defy his law. God required a kinsman redeemer who was worthy and who was able to do it, who had the substance to do it. And the angel said, now let that kinsman redeemer step forth. And John looked, he looked over all the earth, he looked beneath the earth, and there was no one. The creation and everything was lost. Of course John wept. Everything was lost. His crying didn't last but a minute, though. Then stood one of the elders and said, don't weep, John. Oh my, his crying didn't last but just a minute. John thought, oh my, where is the man? There stands the prophets. They was born like I was. There stands the sages. Oh, there ain't there nobody here. You can see what a heavy thing it was. He was experiencing despair. Everything is lost. As he's part of the scene that's unfolding. He's feeling what is being felt in that moment, in that place. The fall of man, brother, sister, was a horrible thing. Sadness and despair. Death. Hopelessness. And I want you to know tonight, that's what demons feel. Because they are utterly without hope. No hope. Despair. Falling. Falling. That's all they have to look forward to. You know, they try and put that on you. They try and make you feel that. If you ever feel that hopelessness, you know where it comes from. It didn't come from God. With God, we have hope. But they have no hope. Nothing to look forward to. You know, it's interesting. You look at people and different personalities of people. There's some people that are just born optimists. right? And there's some people that are born pessimists, right? And they just, that's the way they are. And, you know, the optimist will always find something to look, rainbow in the clouds, right? Some silver lining, like they like to say. They'll always find something to be optimistic about. But there is nothing. I don't care. You could find the most optimistic demon in hell. And they have nothing to look forward to. Nothing. Amen. The most pessimistic Christian has the greatest hope. Amen. That despair comes from hell because that's where it belongs. So John, we just get a little glimpse of that. What that must have felt like. There is no hope. All creation is lost. But thankfully, it didn't last long. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The call goes out. Who is worthy? And people say, here's the Pope. He's holy. No, he's not worthy. How about Mary, our holy mother? No. Any of the other saints? No. A preacher, a church, a theologian, a minister, a prophet? No. No one. Where is the man that can have his life examined and stand before a holy God and be proclaimed holy based on his works? Who can stand there before a holy God? And yet we want to look at our holiness and our righteousness, and we approach God based on that. You see, where does the legalist stand? Amen. Where does the legalist stand? There is not a legalist worthy. Oh, so much we lift up a man on a pedestal. We say, oh, they're holy. They're this, they're that. But no one is worthy. If it wasn't so tragic, brother, sister, it would be comical how people lift themselves up and think they're so great. They've been so deluded by a spirit and an anointing. Satan himself was lifted up with pride. None was worthy. There was no way back. The search was made. The search was made in heaven. The search was made on earth. The search was made under the earth through all time. Anywhere a man would ever be found. And none was found worthy. Brother Bram says this in the Breach message. He says, I want a man that's able to do it. I want a man that can redeem, and he wasn't found. So John, he just broke out. Everything was lost, and he wept bitterly, and he was sad because everything, the whole creation, everything was gone if they couldn't find somebody. Glory to God. If they couldn't find somebody that could meet that requirement, every human being, the whole world and creation was gone. Everything had fallen. The rights of redemption, the rights of eternal life, the light, all these rights had been forfeited, and there was nobody who could pay the price. And John started crying because no one was worthy and no one could even look at the book. Oh, it took a human being, and John wept because no one could do it. And everything was lost, and there came a voice from one of the elders standing in the midst of the four beasts and all that great host of heaven and said, don't weep, John. Oh my, the grace of God. Don't be brokenhearted, John. Don't weep for the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, he has prevailed. Prevailed means wrestled with and overcome. Oh my, the Garden of Gethsemane, when blood dropped down out of his face, he was overcoming. The lion and the root of David has prevailed, has overcome. Amen. Amen. And so we get to our subject tonight. He has prevailed. Amen. He has prevailed. Amen. In the vision, feeling that great despair, but in a moment, the scene changes. The lion has prevailed. Prevailed means to wrestle with and to overcome. It wasn't just a walk in the park. It wasn't just an easy, light thing. It was a trial. It was a wrestling. It took a great cost, but he overcame. He is symbolized by a lion. Amen. Because a lion has great, immense strength, and it holds a position in the animal kingdom. It's the king of the jungle, right? It holds a position as the apex predator. Nobody else goes after a lion. Nobody messes with a lion. A lion's not afraid of anything. Amen? It symbolizes a king. It symbolizes authority. Someone who no one else can stand against. Amen? Amen? Let me read you from Amos chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? How the scripture places a lion as something to be feared and respected. Yes. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham tells us a story when he was hunting, I believe, somewhere in Africa. And he and Billy Paul are out in the bush or out in the country, and they're hunting. And at night they would lay down and hear all the sounds of wildlife. And some places, if you ever go to, it's noisy at night. There might be insects, there might be birds, animals. You know, out there, maybe they've got the hyenas in there laughing and doing their thing. Weirdest sound, by the way. Hyenas are strange animals. Amen. But all animal kingdom, they're making all kinds of noise, he said, and just the sounds of the night, he said. And then a lion roared. He said, all shut up. Oh, hallelujah. That's our God tonight. Amen. Amen. When he says something, it's the final word. Amen. All heaven and earth has to shut up and acknowledge that's the truth. God has said it. God had done it. The lion has roared. Who can stand against him? Amen. Israel was looking for that lion in their Messiah. They were looking for a lion to come and to take over the armies and to overthrow Rome and to fight their earthly oppressors. They were looking for a lion nature, another David, a warrior. Instead, John turns and he sees a lamb. Israel received a lamb. And they rejected the lamb. But John turns and he sees a lamb. It was God in simplicity revealing himself. The lion, the mighty one, the mighty conqueror, the mighty king came in a form where he could be the kinsman redeemer. In a way that wasn't expected. A sacrifice was needed to redeem the book. And a lion isn't an animal of sacrifice. A lamb is an animal of sacrifice. But inside that lamb was a heart of a lion. Amen. It was the lion coming in that form. That's why he's announced as the lion. Amen. I know some believers like that. I believe I'm looking at some of them tonight. Amen. You might be meek and lowly. You might look like a lamb to the world, but in there is the heart of a lion. Amen. Amen. The spirit of the king dwelling in the heart of a believer, a real warrior. Hallelujah. When the lion spoke, everything shut up. That was it. That was the final word. God has spoken. Let everybody else listen. Take a seat and listen. Hallelujah. So the lion became a lamb. The king became poor and meek and lowly. Because that's what it took. The great one became as nothing to the world. Amen? Why? Because he was worthy. Hallelujah! Because he was worthy. The worthy one took on a picture of unworthiness. Amen. The one with royal robes laid down his royal robes and took on a bad name and a poor, a bad reputation. And he came to the poorest and the humblest because he was worthy. The worthy one became a man so that he could be our kinsman redeemer. Now, brother and sister, that wasn't easy. It came at a price. But the lion prevailed. As we said before, prevail means you struggle. You wrestle. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's not easy. It costs something. But he prevailed. That was a real struggle. You know, in this day, we've got this silly saying, the struggle is real. Right? And it's some snowflake on Instagram talking about their first world problem. The struggle is real. I can't get such and such coffee today. The struggle is real. Right? But this was the real struggle. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he travailed. On the cross, he wrestled with this weight of the sin of the world. Brother Branham likened him to Jacob. Jacob facing down life and death. And the angel of the Lord came to him. He grabbed a hold of him and he wouldn't let go. And he struggled and he wrestled with him all night. It cost him something. It was life and death, and he held on, and he prevailed. He kept holding on until he received what he needed. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad our Lion of the tribe of Judah did that for us. He travailed and wrestled. He held on, because that's what we needed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He held on until he got what Jacob held on. He was perseverant. You know, God, that's a characteristic. Brother Branham preaches many sermons about it, and we've talked about it and preached about it. We talk about perseverance. Perseverance is an attribute, is a trait of God. It's a characteristic that identifies the children of God, that they hold on. They don't let go. Brother Doug was talking about, I think it was on Wednesday night, he was talking about that bulldog faith. It was either Wednesday night or last Sunday, I don't remember now. Right? He was talking about bulldog faith and how it just grabs a hold and holds on. It's trained that way. There's something in a believer, brother, sister, that just grabs a hold and doesn't let go. Why? Because they're a chip off the block. That's what Jesus did. He persevered. He wrestled. He held on, wrestling with his own will, wrestling with the weight of sin on the of the world on his shoulders, wrestling against the loneliness as he was abandoned and forsaken, holding on with bulldog faith. Amen. That's why when he sees that, and Brother Doug was preaching about that Wednesday night, I believe, the woman who came to him and said, "But Lord, even the dogs receive the crumbs off the table."
And he admired that faith. Right? I believe it was that or another instance where he said, no, it was the other man who said, Lord, if you just say the word, just speak it, Lord. He said, I have not seen faith in Israel like this. Right? He admires that attribute because it's one of his greatest attributes. But even now, brother, sister, he is in the process still. Because tonight, right now, he is making intercession for us. You see, this vision that unfolded before John, this all hasn't completely finished up yet, right? We are still in the time when the Lamb is interceding on our behalf. He is still our sacrifice. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. He's still travailing. He's still wrestling with our sin. Every time we make a mistake, every time we sin, and we repent with sorrowful repentance, he has to intercede for that. Brother Branham saw that vision of that great blood bumper around the earth. Remember what he said, how he described it. He said, I saw my sin going up to the throne of God. And I knew if my sin reached the throne of God, I would be lost. Right? He's just seeing another form of a part of this vision. Right? And he said, but when that my sin went out there, and if it would have reached the throne of God, it would have been over for me. One sin. But he said it hit that blood bumper. But remember what he said, it caused the Lord pain. He kind of writhed and said, Father, forgive him. Amen? Absorbing our sins so it doesn't go on our record. But instead it's dealt with. It's wrestled out by our intercessor. He travails with your sin and sprinkles the blood. And then he tosses it in the sea of forgetfulness. So that it's no longer remembered. But brother, sister, it has to happen with each sin. Every single one has to be dealt with. It has to be judged and dealt with. And the record cleared for every single one. That's why it's a travail. It's a struggle. That's why, brother, sister, how can somebody, knowing that, just flippantly repent and call it repentance? Amen? And say, oh, yeah, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, you know. God will forgive me of that. Really? Do you know what that cost of that sin is? For that sin to be wiped off your record, do you realize the cost? Where's the godly sorrow and repentance? Where, oh God, I forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. And you enter into the travail with him. Painfully interceding for us. Painfully applying the blood. Lord, they didn't mean it. Applying blood to the mercy seat for every single sin, for every single child of God, every son and daughter. Oh, can you imagine? No wonder he's a lion. Working out, wrestling with our salvation. A faithful high priest. If he missed a single one, we'd be lost. Every single one must be dealt with so that the title can be cleared. The record can be wiped. We reflect our high priest here on earth. Amen? We cry out for the sin. We cry out for the lost. We intercede for our family, for our loved ones. We intercede for those that are burdened under the weight of sin. with tears and pain. Brother Branham talks about a mother walking the floor at night crying out for her children with tears and sorrows. We endure trials of our faith and we endure pain and suffering here on earth, wrestling, overcoming temptations, just like our high priest. Amen. But we are part of him. And his victory is our victory. Oh, hallelujah. So we see the Lamb in this scene tonight. And when he comes out and the angel says, John, don't weep, the lion has prevailed. And he sees. He turns around expecting to see a triumphant lion marching into the throne room, but instead he sees a bloody lamb as it had been slain. Brother Brown dramatizes that lamb a little bit. He says that lamb was bloody. It was bruised. It was broken. Not just at Calvary, brother, sister, but in intercession. Cut, been in a battle. He said that little lamb shaking, trembling, wounded. You could tell he had been in a battle. He'd been slain and killed, but yet was alive. Bloody for our sake. We are represented in him. He steps forth in that scene. He steps out, and his intercession work is over. He's done it. He's interceded for every sin, for every child of God. He steps out completely victorious. He has prevailed. Battered and bloodied, but victorious. Brother Branham said about that scene, he said, oh, he says, don't you just feel like going over in a corner, sit down and have a cry? When you think about what he did for us. Amen? And what he's doing for us right now. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't one of the saints. It wasn't some priest. It wasn't some pope. It was the Lamb alone. He steps out having finished that work. He has cleared the book. The record is spotless. It's been searched back all through time. There's nothing against the creation of God any longer when he steps out. Every single child has been cleared. Hallelujah. That's why we're waiting for the last one to come. Amen. Because we all are in the book. Amen. He didn't say he came out and, you know, only the spiritual ones, they got their names cleared. And these other guys that were on this other list, well, they didn't quite make it. Right? If you're in the book, you're in the book. Amen. Everyone. He steps out having finished that work. Just as Boaz. Remember the story of Boaz and Ruth. Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. He was going to redeem Naomi, and through that he got Ruth. Right? He went through that process. And remember what one of the final steps that had to take place. Boaz had to go to the city gates, and he had to stand before the elders of the city as a witness. And he had to proclaim, I will redeem her. Amen. Amen. To witnesses before the elders. And here, the kinsman redeemer comes forth before the elders. 24 elders. And he stands in the throne room with witnesses. And he proclaims, I have redeemed her. He stands before the throne and takes the book. Oh, hallelujah. He couldn't take the book until it was finished. But once it was finished, he stood there and took the book. That's you and I, brother, sister. Amen. The saints of all ages. Oh, hallelujah. Look at what Brother Branham says about this. In the breach message. He says, talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when the Lamb walked forth. See the books even sealed in heaven, the mysteries are, and say, is my name in there? I don't know. I hope it is. He's saying, I hope your name's in there. Right? You've got to know. You can't just say, I hope my name's in there. You've got to know your name's in there. But if it is, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption, come the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world, and he took the book. Glory! He opened the book, tore off the seals, and sent it down to earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. There you are. Oh my, what happened? The screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the glory to God, all the manifestations. And old John, who had been standing there, a brother, crying. Why, he said, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything in the sea heard me holler. Amen. Amen. Blessing, honor, and might and power to him that lives forever and ever. John had himself an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. Why? Because he saw that he was on the book of redemption. And he saw that his name was cleared. Amen. And something struck him. Where once his heart was filled with despair and tears, now it was certainty and joy. Where there was no hope, now it wasn't just hope, it was reality. And he began to praise God, and everybody heard him. Oh, brother, sister, if we ever get that revelation, amen, we will shout the house down. Amen, we will bring this ceiling of this building down. Amen, people down on two blocks away will hear us. Help us, Lord, to get that revelation tonight. Blessings and honor and might and power to him that lives forever and ever. Talk about a happy time. When them seals broke, John must have looked in and seen past the curtain in time and said, there's John. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, you got to see yourself in the book. You got to find yourself in there. He was so happy. He said, everything in heaven, he must have really cried out, didn't he? Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything beneath the earth. Now look at this, because this is where the search was made. Everything above in heaven, everything in the earth, everything beneath the earth. Amen. That's where the search was made. And there was none worthy. But everything above the earth, everything in heaven, everything in the earth, beneath the earth, every creature, everything else heard me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that was included in that book. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, John was representing us. Let everything rejoice. Amen. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory. Because he has redeemed us. He has undone what the fall did. He is taking us back. Hallelujah. Everything heard me say, oh, brother, sister, this is no dry-eyed experience. This is not a lukewarm experience or confession that we have tonight. Amen. This is glory and this is power to the Lord. Amen. Worshiping the Lamb. We've got something to shout about tonight. Amen. We can be thankful for something. Amen. He said, oh, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and power and might and riches belong to him. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got a lamb tonight, brother, sister. We've got an intercessor tonight. And he's faithful. He's so faithful. And we have seen the end. He will complete it. Amen. He is going to complete your redemption. I don't care how dark it looks right now. You find out if your name's in the book and let the chips fall where they may. Your name's in the book. You are going to be redeemed completely. Every sin stain will be dealt with and wiped away. Everything in that book. Hallelujah. Are we thankful for that tonight? Amen. Oh, brother, sister, that shouldn't make us despise grace. It should make us want to live right. Knowing what he has to go through, knowing the travail that every single sin costs something. Amen. Yes, he is faithful, and yes, he will forgive you, and yes, he will deal with your sin, and he will wipe it away, but it costs. Amen? It hurts. It's painful. It causes him to wrestle that much more. But we shouldn't worry about travail in this life, brother, sister. We will travail. We are in a state of travail. All creation is groaning. Our bodies are they don't line up with the word. They're in fallen condition, and we're in a constant battle against ourselves. Amen. But brother, sister, that battle produces victory. It produces character. And if our lion has prevailed, we will prevail also. His victory is our victory. When we look at that scene and we see him stand forth, and in victory he's proclaimed, he has prevailed. He's only able to step forth because of all of that travail that he went through. Amen. And one day you and I are going to step forward. We're going to step out and step forth into glory. And we're going to shine forth the brightness of his character. And we're going to have a gold tried in the fire. We're going to have a character and an authority that he promised for his children. And it's because of the travail. It's because of the trials. It's because of what we go through. Amen? We're not victims. We are victors. He's not a victim. He's a victor. And his children are victors. Amen? You believe that tonight? Amen. I believe that's why Brother Doug preaches so hard against that victim mentality. That is a demon. Amen? The demons are the ones without hope. We are victors. We are overcomers. We are not losers. We are winners. Why? Because our Lamb has overcome. He's done the work. Let's be faithful to him. Let's be faithful to receive it and accept it. Amen? Let's be faithful to walk in it. Amen. Let's be faithful to reflect the high priest. Let's intercede and, you know, pour out our hearts and pour out our lives like he does. Let's let it be real to us. How many times have we read this little portion of scripture in Revelation 5? Amen. And just, well, that's a nice doctrine in the message. But is it real to you? Amen. Let's not be lukewarm here tonight. Amen. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to have the joy of salvation. We have a lively hope tonight. Amen. We have something to worship about. we can sing a new song tonight. We can sing the song of the saints, the song of redemption. Hallelujah. I, who was once dead in trespasses and sin, has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. My future is set. My path is clear. Amen. My destiny is written in the Word. Hell can't change it. Nobody can separate me from the love of God. We can sing the song of the redeemed. One day, brother, sister, when that happens, when that final work is complete, he takes the book and he comes and he redeems, he takes possession. Amen. He takes possession and then we rule with him on the earth. The devil loses and we win. He's hopeless. He's defeated. He's trying to bring us down to his level and convince you that it's hopeless and that you're defeated. But that's his place. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Blessing and honor. Amen. Let me just finish this quote up. Sorry. Put that back up there. 148 there. He says, why? When the revelation come that the Lamb, the Redeemer, our kinsman had come back from the throne of mediatorial and had walked out there to take his possession, soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus we shall reign eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth on the Word. Come and dine, oh, get without mercy. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. But now, when he leaves there, he says, he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. Amen. Amen. All the host of heaven will assembled be. All the saints in spotless white. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Amen. Let's stand tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we are so grateful tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, for your redeeming work, Lord. Even now, Lord, as you are on the throne of grace, Lord, and you're sprinkling that mercy seat with your own blood, Lord, and you're interceding on behalf of every sin, Lord, every fault, every mistake we make, Lord, no matter how much we don't want to do it, yet, Lord, we know that within us, Lord, there's a nature that is fallen, Lord, and we just, our bodies, we fight against it, Lord, and we're constantly putting things under the blood, and we're so thankful for that, Lord, that you're faithful to do that work for us until that work is done. Lord, you're awesome. We're so grateful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see that clearly tonight. What it means to us, Lord. Without it, we would die. Without it, it would be death and hopelessness. But Lord, because of you, because what you have done and what you're doing for us, we have peace and we have life and we have a perfect end. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray tonight, Lord, if there's any here tonight that have maybe lost the joy of their salvation, Lord, that you would just restore that to them tonight. Lord, that they would just regain that love and that worship for you, Lord, that feeling, oh, God. When I hear Brother Branham say, oh, and I see that scene, it makes me want to just sit in the corner and cry. God, because he feels what you're going through for him. And Lord, may we feel that tonight and just love you and appreciate you and know what you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, what little we can do here on earth for you, Lord, we'll do it. We'll do anything, Lord. But Lord, let us be faithful to worship you and always give you honor and always praise you and always lift your name up. And not be lukewarm about it, Lord. Not be formal and cold about it. But be like John, Lord, who began to shout and praise and didn't care who heard him. And everything heard him. Because you are worthy of that, Lord. How we love you tonight, Father. How we thank you tonight. Knowing that this is a sure thing, Lord. You've worked this out. We didn't have anything to do with it. We just accept it, receive it, believe it, and walk in it. And thank you for it. Bless your people tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that song. And the honor, Lord, we lift our hands. Lift his holy name. He has prevailed. He is great. He is the high priest tonight of your confession, interceding on your behalf. No one like our God tonight. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the about what he's done for you, brother, sister. Let's give him honor and glory tonight. Hallelujah. We lift our hands to worship you, Lord. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You have prevailed for us. You are great, mighty God. There is no one else like